This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney, Jr. I'm your host for today's program. And today we have program number 239 in our series. I do hope that you will stay tuned because, as usual, we have a very, very inspiring message for you and some inspiring music as well. Today's message is going to center around the topic of love. Pastor Phipps in his message is going to refer to David and Saul and an interesting experience that they had. I'm not going to get into it. I just invite you to stay tuned and listen to the rest of the message. It's a very, very interesting story and one that I'm sure you're going to enjoy. Just before the message begins, however, here is some music. Music by Wintley Phipps.
I dreamed of a home and someone to call my own. Now I've come here to say I want to build my home in you. Lord, hear my prayer. I promise to love you, live my life in joy. I promise to love you and give you my all. I promise to love you, share the secrets of my heart. I promise to love you every day of my life. Prayer. I promise to love you till the stars refuse to shine. I promise to love you. I pray you'll be mine when I need someone to share the seasons of life, Lord. I promise to love you every day of my life. I promise to love you, cherish the day I saw your face. I promise to love you with each breath I take, and in that moment eternity will shine. I promise to love you till the end of time. I promise to love you each time I call your name. I promise to love you till the sun.
promise to love you with each breath.
This is the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music from Wintley Phipps, a song from the CD entitled The Power of a Dream. And that song is entitled I Promise to Love You. We're going to begin our message for today, the message that centers around love. At the end of the message, I'm going to have an announcement which will give you some information that will let you know how you may obtain an audio copy of today's message. But just now, sit back and relax and listen to our message for today.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 24. The Word of God says, when Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goat's rocks. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the son of David said to him, and the men of David said to him, here is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you. Then David arose and stealthily cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He said to his man, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went upon his way. Keep that text open this morning. No one in Israel could forget that day when David, armed with his slingshot and 5 smooth stones, stood fearlessly and confident against a giant who challenged his God. The sound of his young voice echoed throughout the valley. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Yes, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine heart. Church, that bodacious, audacious, defiant speech from a mere youth was heard not just by Goliath, but by the many thousands who had gathered to fight the army of the Philistines. And when he heard it, Goliath got so angry, lost his composure. Boy, when you're fighting a battle, don't lose your composure. Pushed up his helmet that protected his forehead, rushed forward to annihilate David. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Jubilation spread throughout the armies of Israel. You see, church, everyone was so confident that David would be killed, that they had already, as it were, dug his grave and written his eulogy. But when God is for you, who can be against you? That stone came out of David's slingshot like a bullet with a bias. You didn't hear me today. came out of that slingshot like a bullet with a bias. Came out of that slingshot like a missile on a mission. You've heard of heat-seeking missiles. This was a giant-seeking missile. Servant of the Lord tells us that God was guiding that stone from David's sling, and it had Goliath's name on it. It was headed straight to a bullseye that an angel had drawn on Goliath's forehead. And when that guided giant-seeking missile struck the head of Goliath, he stood there for a moment motionless, and then like a mighty oak about to fall, he first trembled and staggered and then fell to the ground. Shouts of triumph echoed along the mountains. The fame of David spread far and wide. And as you can well imagine, Saul, the king of Israel, had mixed feelings about David's victory. Saul, you see, had one serious defect of character. The defect was jealousy. He was a king on his throne, but he was a midget in his own mind. Did you hear me today? He was a king on his throne, but a midget in his mind. He was the undisputed monarch on paper. But in reality, his heart was consumed by jealousy. No one believed Saul had a right to a higher place of favor in the hearts and minds of the people than he did. And as Saul witnessed the nation's jubilation, their unabashed, gushing praise of David, Saul began to strategize about what he could do to contain the fame of Israel's new war hero. His initial plan was to marginalize David's popularity through limiting David's access to his adoring public. So after David killed Goliath, Saul the king ordered that David was to come to the king's palace, and he wouldn't give David permission to leave it. That's the equivalent of John Glenn circling the earth, and upon his return, the President of the United States locking him up in the White House and refusing him permission to speak to the press. Saul kept David locked up in the king's palace, and for weeks, he wouldn't give David even permission to go to his father's house, lest David's own family rejoice. Have mercy. And throw a hero's welcome. Saul would not allow David to go anywhere, and when he finally let David go, it was evident to all the people that the favor of God was with David. All around him was an atmosphere of honor and humility. God is so awesome, church. I said, God is so awesome, church. He used Saul's decision to contain David's fame. He used Saul's decision, motivated by jealousy. He used Saul's unfair decision to prepare David for the next step in his ministerial professional career. What do I mean by that? You see, God allowed David to be locked up in the king's palace so that when he became king, he'd know his way around.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Are you listening to me? God allowed David to be locked up in the palace just so he could see how a king was supposed to run a kingdom. And David got a chance to see firsthand how a nation is supposed to be run. He saw the things Saul did that were right. He saw the things Saul did that were wrong. And David's experience being locked up in the palace was not just to teach him, but it was prepare him for when he would become king. God allowed it, church, because he knew that this experience in David's life would build character.
Amen.
Ooh.
Yes, sir.
God knew that Saul's jealousy and hatred of David would teach David to depend on God.
Amen. Yes.
God uses other people's jealousy of you.
All right.
To teach you to depend on him.
Amen. Amen. All right.
What a mighty God.
Yeah.
And at first, you know, Saul was somewhat friendly and polite to David. Mm-hmm. But believe me, Saul didn't stay friendly long.
Well.
When David brought out that harp, started plucking on it, mm-hmm. and singing, mm-hmm. Saul said to his own jealous heart, "What? Mm. And he can sing too?" Church, David had a melodious voice. Mm-hmm. He was a songwriter.
Yeah.
Saul said to himself, "The boy is a soldier.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
He's a hero."
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
He's a musician. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. I can't take this. What else can't he do? And once when Saul and David were returning from battle with the Philistines, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing. And one group of women started singing, "Saul has slain his thousands." And soon a larger, more enthusiastic group of women started singing, but did you see David? He slew his tens of thousands. Saul said to himself, "Wait a minute. And the women adore him too? I'm taller, better looking, and they adore him. I got to put a stop to this," said Saul. "There's only so much a man can take." And the servant of the Lord says that, the demon of jealousy. Did you know that's a demon? The demon of jealousy entered the heart of Saul. Mm-hmm. He was most angry because David was exalted above himself. This is what Ellen White says. Saul was most angry, listen, because David was exalted above himself in the song of the women of Israel.
Mercy.
Oh, it hit at the brother's dignity.
Oh, have mercy.
And the women love him too. "Those women," he said, "sing about his tens of thousands. With fame like that, he's got to be coming next for my throne."
Well,
got paranoid. "He's got to be after my kingdom." Church, you know, Saul was afflicted with a phenomenon that follows jealousy called projection. You see, some people don't want you to have what you have because they know if they had what you had, they couldn't handle it.
Well, have mercy.
Are you with me? And so therefore they conclude that you shouldn't have what they know they can't handle.
Have mercy.
You know, "Lord, help my neighbors to stop buying things I can't afford."
Yeah.
They really believe that it's just not healthy for you to have what they can't handle. What arrogance. But that's what jealousy does to you. It's a demon. Because they know success will ruin them, they assume it's going to ruin you too. And so they can't compliment you. They can't praise God for what he's done for you. Because they call themselves being spiritual. And in their spiritual effort to help you and to save you, they embark on a concerted effort to marginalize the impact of what God has done for you. Yeah, they say things like, "Yeah, I read about the success, but let me show you where they're failing. Yeah, they do a lot of things right, but let me show you what they're doing wrong." Always watch people who always talk about the other side of the church's success.
Well,
yeah, the church, yes, but.
Well.
But let me tell you. David never claimed to be perfect. But Saul saw it as his mission to remind people that he wasn't perfect. Woo, are you listening to me? David never claimed to be perfect.
That's right.
But Saul saw it as his mission to remind everybody that David wasn't perfect.
Well,
Saul was the one who was addicted to the applause. So he is trying to keep David,
Lord, help him,
from getting addicted.
My Lord.
Have mercy, Lord.
Yes.
Saul allowed his love of praise and adulation to control his own thoughts and actions. Almost everything Saul did was influenced by his love of praise. Saul was the kind of man who believed that as long as it was popular, it was right. Saul hadn't learned that before you rule a kingdom, you got to learn to rule your spirit. On more than one occasion, while David was singing songs of praise to God, Saul threw a javelin and a spear at David, trying to kill him. Now, church, you know, that's a lot of hate. To try and kill somebody is hate. But to try to kill somebody while they're praising the Lord, now that's a lot of hate. And Saul's hatred of David increased. Saul looked more for opportunities to kill David. And one day, Saul said, David, I'll make you a deal. Saul said to David, I'll make you a deal. Go fight these armies I got on this list here, and I'll give you the hand of my youngest daughter in marriage. Saul knew that David loved Michal, and Michal loved David. So the Bible says that Saul thought he could make David die by the hand of the Philistines. So he said, I know you want my daughter. Now go fight all these armies. Oh, but God blessed and protected David. David came back even more victorious. Saul got to the point where he no longer cared who knew how much he really hated David. He told his son, Jonathan, the officers of the court, if you get a chance, kill him. Saul's own son, Jonathan, couldn't carry out his father's command. He loved David too much. Jonathan even told David about everything that his father was plotting to do against him. One day, Jonathan went and begged his father not to kill David. And for a time, Saul was convicted and put his hand up to heaven, swore that as the Lord liveth, David shall not be slain. But that didn't last. Another war, another victory. Saul was back to his old jealous self again. The last time Saul threw that javelin at David, it came so close it would have killed him. Serving the Lord said they would have killed him had not God sent an angel to deflect the aim of that javelin. After that near miss, David said, I'm out of here. David said, enough is enough. This king is out of his mind. He's out of control. He's sure enough trying to kill me. The Bible tells us that David fled into the wilderness. Saul was so crazy with jealousy, he even sent spies into the wilderness to find David and kill him. Saul found out that David was in the prophet Samuel's house, sent his soldiers to the prophet's house to kill David. Woo, this man was crazy. One day, Jonathan visited David secretly and asked Jonathan, what have I done to your father? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeketh my life? Yeah. Poor David didn't know that his only crime was just in being David. That was his only crime, just being blessed. And finally, for his own protection, David took a small group of about 400 of his most trusted soldiers, fled into the mountains of Judah. And if you've got your Bibles, go back to 1 Samuel 24. It tells us that Saul chased, my God, David into the wilderness of En-Gedi. And David, in desperation, trying to elude Saul and the soldiers, found a hiding place in a cave. Now, as I studied for this message, it came clear to me that it was there in a cave that David composed many of his psalms. David wrote some of his most powerful psalms in a cave. Let me turn you on to one of them, Psalm 140. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of the Psalms. This is David writing from a cave. Have mercy, Jesus. He says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the poison of vipers. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. Arrogant men have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. I say to the Lord, Thou art my God. Give ear to the voice of my supplications, O Lord, my Lord, my strong deliverer. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his evil plot. Those who surround me lift up their head. Let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Have mercy, Jesus. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into pits no more to rise. Let not the slander be established in the land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. I know that the Lord maintains the cause of the afflicted and executes justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence from a cave.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's message. We will broadcast the continuation and conclusion of this message in another broadcast. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, however, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Be sure to ask for program number 239, which will provide you with part one of the message which we heard today. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church, worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and 11 a.m. You may call the church office for directions. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Here at The More Abundant Life, we are always appreciative of the support of our listeners through their prayers, their comments, and financial contributions. Please know that you are much, much appreciated. If you would like to correspond with us in writing, you may send your correspondence to Post Office Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. The zip code is 21045. That's P.O. Box 1078. In Columbia, Maryland, 21045. And until next time, this is Adrian Wesley Jr. As always, I want to wish you God's richest blessings for the week. Please join us again, though, for another program. But until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
What's in your